In our series on building a diverse workforce, we've examined the lack of diversity in the military officer corps and heard from officials about how they're trying to improve. We've also looked at the Department of Justice's diversity program, which puts it ahead of the curve. But first, we wanted to hear from you. And, of course, my guest co-host this morning is Emily Kopp, who has done all that reporting on diversity. And, Emily, we did a survey. Tell us how many people responded.
About 900 people responded. Of them, because, of course, we're talking about diversity, so this counts, 55% describe themselves as white, 45% as other, with the largest percentage being people of black descent. Actually, about half were female, and a disproportionate share, more than half, were at the higher grades of government, meaning GS-13 or above and SES. That's, of course, reflective of our market, not necessarily of the government at large. But basically what we did is we put this survey online. We wanted to sort of take the pulse of what people out there, real federal employees, were thinking about this, whether they thought this was just sort of a bunch of lip service coming from officials or whether they were really excited about this new effort to build a more diverse, inclusive workforce.
So what does diversity mean in the 21st century? Does it mean that the proportions by race have to match the proportions of race in the rest of the population?
That's actually a great question. You really hit it on the head, because what the survey shows is that people don't really know. They understand maybe what diversity means, but they forget about the inclusion part of this. And this is supposed to be diversity and inclusion. It's not affirmative action. It's not equal opportunity. And it means, you know, the things that people talked about were that they were very much thinking in terms of those lines. Because if you look at the results that we had, what you find are very sharp divisions according to, most of all, race, but then gender. For example, the first question we asked whether people agreed with this statement: my agency does a good job of hiring, retaining, and promoting a diverse group of employees. When you looked at white males in particular, 7 out of 10 would say, yes, we do a great job. But in contrast, when you look at people who said that they were not white, 37% only agreed or somewhat disagreed. And 6 out of 10 people who described themselves as a person of color disagreed with that statement. So it really emphasizes that we have some big separations in the federal workforce.
Well, certainly in perception. So in other words, you can have inclusion, but not necessarily have diversity. And you can have diversity of thinking, but not necessarily have inclusion.
Right. Well, I think that diversity in terms of thinking, in terms of what school you went to and your background and your cultural expertise, what languages you speak, that's really the inclusion part. But it's the part that's hard to measure. So I think that shows what agencies are sort of up against when they're trying to draft these strategies this week. How are they going to measure and hold themselves accountable for that inclusion part? Obviously, when you're looking at the numbers, that's a lot easier to say, yes, we're doing a good job of hiring a diverse range of people, or no, we're not.
Now, what do agencies actually have to do this week? Let's remind people there's something due to OPM. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, about 6 months ago, President Obama issued this executive order saying that I want you to look at hiring, retaining, and promoting a diverse, inclusive workforce, which is actually why we asked that question one that we just talked about. And 3 months ago, a government-wide framework was laid out by the Office of Personnel Management, the Office of Management and Budget, and others that said, we want you to look at hiring from a diverse group of people, at retaining people, and also sustainability. Importantly, we want this to be an initiative that, frankly, outlasts the Obama administration and becomes part of the fabric of agencies. So with that directive, agencies have had to figure out how they can meet that criteria. This week, their specific plans are due to the Office of the Office of Personnel Management. As soon as they turn those in, OPM has said, we want you to begin implementing them. So they're also supposed to start implementing them by Friday.
So whose job is this? Is it strictly the chief human capital officer, or do program managers that hire people? Who's involved in making sure diversity happens?
Yeah, that's another good question, because it's something where I think people from this survey just from the comments that people are given, they might say, you know, my agency really believes in this, but it hasn't trickled down to my manager. I have some comments here, and a black woman at the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, she says, you know, I hope a study is done on how directors and managers of each group rather than agency-wide give out merit increases, bonuses, or promotions. The executive order is not going to make a difference at my agency. And that sort of underscores the cynicism that that we found in some of these results, because they thought, you know what, this isn't really going to matter unless you figure out how it applies to each manager and each employee in terms of what they have to do to comply.
Interesting. So there was one question that we asked here. Is there a glass ceiling when it comes to promoting people of all backgrounds at my agency? That seems to get at the question of whether it's one thing to get them in. It's another thing to actually nurture their careers and let them achieve, right, let diverse people achieve leadership. What was the answers there?
The answer, and that is actually something that President Obama spelled out in his executive order, that retention idea and promotion idea. The answers, again, sharply divided, mostly along ethnic lines, secondly along gender lines. But when you look at white men, 61% would disagree that there was a glass ceiling. White women, about 53% or more than half, would agree that, yes, there is a glass ceiling. And then it went up from there with people of color saying 7 in 10 would say that yes, there is a glass ceiling. And what, you know, when we talk about this, it's often – diversity is often shorthand for race or gender, but there's also this really – push from the Obama administration to hire more people with disabilities. And so,
in fact, disabilities is the one area where there actually are numerical goals.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Recognized official goals that agencies can attain. And what one woman who said that she does have a disability, she works at USDA, wrote, she said, you know, employees with disabilities tend to lag behind the most when it comes to upward mobility. And one of our greatest challenges is to ensure that all professional development opportunities are well marketed to all employees, that all that training is accessible to all, especially those with disabilities. And it underscores some of the reporting that I've done earlier, which comes to even the simplest technology that people use. Some aspects are still not reachable by those people with disabilities, who might be blind or deaf or what have you, and that sets them back when it comes to promotion or just being able to keep course with the daily pace of events that their colleagues are able to do.
It sounds like there are really kind of two sets of figures in a way. There's the actual numbers of this or that kind of person who are actually employed. Then there is what the individual sees from his or her point of view, which can be very different from what the numbers say at the macro level.
Yeah, we'll have more analysis later in the week, but I was talking with somebody last week, and she put it very concisely. She says, you stand where you sit, meaning your point of view comes from your position, from what you see. And it's very difficult for people to sort of get out of their own personal perspective and see this issue the way that somebody who is not of their gender, not of their race, or perhaps not of their background, some other respect, sees it.
Well, it's very true. You know, I'm a white male who has, let's say I'm old enough to have thrown away years of AARP solicitations, so they go right in the trash. But they've been coming for quite a number of years. And yet in my career, which spans 3.5 decades of working one place or another, I have had more female supervisors than male. And I've seen, in fact, my very first job way, way back, a little newspaper, the publisher was a woman. And quite a strong personality. In fact, we're still friends after 35 years. And along the way, I've seen, and our station manager here is female. So I should be of the generation that only sees other white males in charge of things, but yet my experience has been completely the opposite.
Well, there were a number of white men who answered this survey who said, you know, there is a glass ceiling when it comes to promoting people like me, people like white men, because agencies are so geared towards boosting people of color or boosting women or trying to be diverse that they're forgetting about people like me. So that sentiment was very prominent in this survey.